Jesus is Lord. What a wonderful confession of faith that is. St. Paul tells us that a person can make that confession only by the power of the Holy Spirit working within him. Jesus is Lord. That simple phrase is at the heart of Christianity, a fundamental creed for us. It's basic and it's essential for our life and our faith as Christians. And yet, as elementary as that profession is, it often gets pushed aside and neglected, and sometimes even lost in the give and take of modern theological jargon. The record indicates a sad trend in American churches today. Several sects which deny the deity of Jesus have gained numerous members, while many Christian denominations are just barely able to hold their own. Perhaps even more devastating, though, is the fact that sometimes Christian churches tend to de-emphasize this basic tenet of Jesus as Lord. They gloss it over in favor of some humanitarian appeal, an appeal which is devoid of the gospel of salvation through faith in Christ. In our text for today, Jesus reminds us again of the absolute importance of that basic confession. The gospel lessons for the past few days in chapel have focused on the questions which were addressed to Jesus, questions by the scribes and the Pharisees, the Herodians, and the others of that day. But today, the tables are turned. Today, in the gospel lesson, Jesus takes his turn at doing the asking. The question that Jesus asks is a really hard question, a question which indeed deserves the greatest minds of the seminaries of those days. It's not a question, however, like the ones which were addressed to him. It seeks to entrap or ensnare his hearers. Rather, the question that Jesus divulges more than it demands. It teaches rather than tests. It is a question which appeals not merely to the emotion or the intellect, but it is a question which appeals to the undeniable word of Scripture to make that all-important point. Jesus is Lord. The setting for this episode in the life of Jesus takes place in the Temple of Jerusalem, this day before the Passover celebration, in the week of our Lord's suffering and death. Prior to this week, Mark tells us that Jesus had enjoined silence upon his followers. Time and time again, he had charged them not to tell anyone about his miracles or who he really was. But now all that had changed. Just days before this, on Sunday, Jesus had made his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. This was no lowly entrance. Rather, it was a fulfillment of the prophecy that was given in Scripture regarding the Messiah. And it was a grand proclamation to all that Jesus was that Messiah, the promised son of David. During this week, Jesus left absolutely no doubt as to who he was. The pageantry of his entrance, the boldness with which he cleansed the temple, the authority with which he debated and taught the people. Jesus left no doubt as to who he was. All of those things confirmed his messianic claim. Or the religious leaders of the day were outraged by such a claim. But the common people, the people in the temple, they heard him with delight. The soul of the teachers, it was to humiliate Jesus in front of the crowd. They thought surely if they could ask him some really hard theological questions, he would slip up. Then the crowd would forsake him. But they found backside. They were defeated at their own game. They were outsmarted and even almost persuaded, but not quite. And no one dared to ask him any more questions. So now Jesus takes his turn. He takes full advantage of this teachable moment. He becomes the aggressor in this valley of questions and answers, calling on the infallible word of Scripture to prove his point. Jesus demands an answer to his question. How can David call his son Lord? The answer is clear. The Messiah is not merely the son of David, but he is also the son of God. He is not merely king of the Jews, but he is also the Lord of the universe. The secret is fully exposed. This man, Jesus, this man standing in the temple, is both David's son and David's Lord. What an example Jesus set for those of us who would teach in his church. If Jesus considered the message of his lordship important enough to focus on just days before his suffering and death, how much more should that be our teaching be at the forefront of what we do and say? The lordship of Jesus must be our focus too. For surely he is a man. But what makes him unique from every other son of David is that he and he alone among them is God. What follows in the text strikes uncomfortably close to home for those of us in the seminary community and those of us who would teach and teach in our Savior's church. You see, with the proclamation of his divinity, Jesus issued a call for the repentance of the scribes. They didn't repent because their pride and their arrogance got in the way. It blinded them to the truth and the promises that God had given to them in Holy Scripture. They rejected that call of Jesus because of the temptations that surrounded them, the temptations of their long robes, their titles of respect, the temptations of their power within the nation and their special VIP treatment. All of these things were just too much to forsake for the truth. The sacred word of God had become for them nothing more than a tool to just to get the things they wanted, a tool to manipulate people, a tool just to get what they desired in life. Upon these men, these teachers of the law that Jesus makes that awful pronouncement, they will receive the greater condemnation. Those of us who will be teachers of the word today are also subject to temptation. There are the temptations of the world around us. There are the temptations of our own flesh. And there are the temptations of the mind. Yes, even the temptation to use the word of God to meet our own ends, to glorify ourselves, and to manipulate people. How tired we are when we can be introduced as seminarians or pastors. How mighty we feel, how worthy of double honor we must be when we teach such eloquent things. Friends, the fact of the matter is, God doesn't need you or me. But thanks be to God, he does want us. And that is why Jesus took yet another turn. He took our turn under the greater condemnation which we deserve. He took our turn, enduring the condemnation of the cross, and so that we can have and enjoy the resurrection of the body. He took our turn. And now he offers to us, even at the seminary, his word of forgiveness. Through our studies, we see this Son of David standing with scars of nails and thorns, and we see this same Son of God giving to us his body and blood, sacrificed once for all for the forgiveness of all our sins. Jesus took our turn. But that doesn't mean that we are immune from failure. We may still fail to study the way we should this quarter. We may still fail because of all the burdens of seminary life to get along with our wife or our roommate. But the promise of Jesus is that our failures are not fatal, because the one fatality required for our complete forgiveness is taken care of when Jesus took our turn. So why then are we here? We are certainly not here because we have so very much to offer to the church that they couldn't possibly turn us down. Nor are we here because the church could never get along without us. Rather, we are here because Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of our lives. And like the widow who gave all that she had to the treasury for the kingdom of God, we are here to offer all that we have in love and in thankful service to our Lord. Let us dedicate ourselves this year to study. To study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, that we may proclaim with clarity, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.